All right, let's turn in our Bibles to Psalm 33 today. Psalm 33. Most time when you come on a God and Country Sunday, you expect to hear a message about America. That's exactly what God's laid on my heart. And I knew we were going to sing that song right before the message. So it put this thought in my mind, is God obligated to bless America? How many just love that chorus we just sang? Woo, God bless America, land that I love. But is God obligated to bless us? Now, there was a time when we commonly heard that phrase, God bless America, and it really resonated with American citizens with deep conviction. It was more than just the end of a speech. How many heard a political speech, and at the end, what do they say? God bless America. Right? But it was more to people than just that. It was more than just a chorus of a patriotic song. It reflected the reality that our nation once acknowledged God publicly. Churches were well attended. The Ten Commandments hung in courthouses. How many believe that's a good idea? Amen. Prayer opened public meetings. Prayer even opened up public school classes. There was a reverence for the name of God. How many would agree with me? There's not much reverence for God in America. Many possessed a healthy fear of God. We've lost that in America. But today, we're going to ask the hard question. Is God obligated to bless America just because of our history? Just because our currency says what? In God we trust. Is America truly trusting God? Give me the honest answer, no. But it's on our currency. Just because our pledge says we are one nation under God, does that mean now let me just be clear. God is not obligated to bless America or any other nation for that fact. His blessings are not handed out based on a pledge to the flag. His blessings are not handed out based on a nation's founding documents. How many appreciate our nation's founding documents? They're amazing. They speak of God. But his blessings are not handed out because of that or national pride. Boy, we love our country. I'm proud to be an American. Does that mean God's automatically going to bless us? No. God blesses based on obedience to righteousness. Obedience to him. Obedience to the truth. We have absolute truth right here. Amen? That's what pleases God. You want the blessings of God in your life? Live this book. Amen? His blessings don't come because of entitlement. We're Americans, so we're entitled to get the blessings of God. Where'd you get that? No, live the book, and you'll receive his blessings. I got 4 points today. Number one, God's blessings flow from his character, not our country. Let that sink in. God's blessings flow from his character, not our country. Psalm 33:12, the first part, say it with me, ready? Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. God's blessing is tied to recognizing and submitting to God, not just in word, but in deed and in truth. If I just say that I love Jesus, does that mean anything? What if I show it in deed, what I do, and in truth? Hey, it's different, isn't it? And God's blessings are tied to recognizing, submitting to him in laws that we have in our country, in our homes in America, in pulpits across the country, making sure we're teaching the Word of God as truth and we're preaching the whole truth. How about in schools? God blesses nations that acknowledge him. Not just in ceremony. Not just a catchphrase, God bless America. No, sincerely. Do you sincerely love God? Do you sincerely, are you in love with Jesus this morning? That's what pleases God. Now, the second part of that verse, Psalm 33:12, says, and the people whom he had chosen for his inheritance. Now, this refers to nation, to Israel, a nation God chose for a unique covenant relationship. America is not Israel. Are you with me? If you need more info on that, last year I preached a whole message on that and talked about the differences and things like that. But America was never promised a special covenant blessing. What blessings we have received are out of God's grace. They were never guaranteed to the United States of America. God does not owe his blessing to any one nation. How many believe this? God is not an American. God is not a Republican. God is not a Democrat. He's not swayed by political platforms, patriotic anthems. He is holy, sovereign, and just. I love this verse, Psalm 24:1. The earth is the Lord's. Woo! Everything belongs to him. And the fullness thereof, the world, and they that dwell therein. God is the rightful owner, ruler of everything and everyone. And he calls us to live in humble dependence and look to him for everything. The character of God needs to flow out and become a part of our lives if we want to receive his blessings. Number two, righteousness, not religious ritual, exalts a nation. Many are gathered in places today and they're going through the motions. Are you with me, church? They're going through their little rituals of what they think pleases God. But if that church is not preaching Jesus as the only way, Jesus plus nothing equals everything, then that church is off base. And those people are just going through the motions. I love this verse, Proverbs 14:34. Righteousness exalts a nation. Exalteth a nation. Read it with me, ready? But sin is a reproach to any people. Throughout Scripture, God blesses nations that honor him, that walk in righteousness, and he withholds blessings from those who reject him. When a nation turns from God, it forfeits the blessings of God. Do y'all agree with that? Righteousness leads to elevation. Sin leads to reproach. Now, America has experienced great heights. We've been elevated. But let me tell you this morning, the spiritual foundation has been cracking for a long time. Are you with me? We are in decline because we have legalized what God condemns. I'm going to wake you up here in a minute. We've mocked biblical values as outdated. We've chosen comfort over conviction. We've traded truth for tolerance. Oh, well, we'll just accept that. No, the Bible says something different. We've tolerated so much. Now America is morally confused, spiritually empty, divided, angry, fearful, and unstable. Is that a pretty good description of America? We love to sing, God bless America. But we've got to ask ourselves, are we living the kind of lives that God can bless? Am I living the kind of life that God can bless? We cannot expect the blessings of God on our country while we slaughter the unborn. Amen, church? How about this? When we redefine what God has defined as sin, if the Bible says it's sin, we shouldn't go about changing it, redefining it. How about this? Some worship the idols of fame, money, sex. And then we've also silenced the Word of God in public life. People don't care what the Word of God says. So what's happened to our nation is the very same verse I mentioned last week, Isaiah 59:2. Do you remember this one? Can you read it with me out loud? Ready? But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. How can God bless America? In fact, how can he bless our church abundantly when we continue to grieve his spirit in the way that we sin against him? I'm not just talking to the ones outside these doors that are citizens of our nation. I'm talking about the church. All right, number three. God's wrath is revealed when truth is rejected. Boy, you want to, when we reject the truth, when anybody rejects the truth, you better watch out. God's wrath is coming. Romans 1:18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. That means they suppress the truth by their wickedness. In this passage, the Apostle Paul lays out the universal guilt of humanity. He begins his argument for why all people, Gentiles and all Jews alike, are in need of God's righteousness through the gospel. How many believe that? Everyone needs Jesus, right? And buddy, he goes on a rampage, and I'm going to read it. I'm going to paraphrase it for you, but it's powerful. People reject God despite revelation. You say, how is God revealing himself? That they know the truth about God because he has made it so obvious to them. Can't you look out and see creation? That song talked about the mountains and the prairies and the ocean. Aren't you so glad you live in these beautiful mountains? Now, it's good to visit the prairies. I don't want to live in the prairies, do y'all? It's good to visit the ocean, but I don't want to live there. I thank God we're in the mountains. That has nothing to do with my message, okay? Okay. All right, let me start over. People reject God despite revelation. You can look outside and see there had to be a creator. You can look at our bodies and how, just detail. And how they're made and how they work. How Tanya fell and had a big old, scratch. And how that scab has formed. And then last night it was all better. Isn't that amazing? You think, oh, that just happened. Evolution. You're foolish. We have a creator. So they know the truth about God because he has made it so obvious to them through everything he's made, the earth and the sky. The lost have no excuse for not knowing God. You have no excuse for not knowing God. His eternal power and divine nature are clearly seen. But a lot of people fail to honor God. They don't worship him as God. They don't glorify him as God. They don't give God thanks. How many know somebody in that situation? They don't worship him as God. They don't glorify him. They never give him thanks. Well, here's the result. They begin to think up foolish ideas of what God is like. Their minds become dark and confused. They claim themselves to be wise, but they have become utter fools. Instead of worshiping God, they worship idols made to look like mere people, humans, or they even worship birds, animals, or reptiles. God abandons them to do whatever shameful things their hearts desire. Does this sound like America? As a result, they do vile and degrading things with each other's bodies. They want to mutilate their private parts because they're not content with the way God made them. Everyone is made in God's image. But when we get our eyes off God, we start doing all kinds of crazy stuff. That's where our nation is. They trade the truth about God for a lie. They worship and serve the things God created instead of the Creator himself, Who is worthy of our praise? Creation outside or the Creator who made the creation? He's worthy of our praise. This is why God abandons them to their shameful desires. The women turn against the natural way to have sex and instead indulge in sex with each other. And the men, instead of having normal sexual relations with women, burn with lust for each other, man with man, woman with woman. Men do shameful things with other men, and as a result of this sin, they suffer within themselves the penalty they deserve. Homosexuality is still a sin in 2025. Boy, it's getting quiet. Since they think it's foolish to acknowledge God, He abandons them to their foolish thinking, lets them do things that should never be done. Their lives become full of every kind of wickedness, sin, greed, hate, envy, murder, quarreling, deception, malicious behavior, and gossip. Is anybody getting their foot stepped on today? They are backstabbers, haters of God, boldly disrespectful, proud, boastful. They invent new ways of sinning. Isn't that an interesting phrase? They invent new ways of sinning. And they disobey their parents. Boy, we're seeing that. Not much honor for mom and dad. They refuse to understand. They break their promises. They're heartless. They have no mercy. They know God's justice requires that those who do these things deserve to die, yet they do them anyway. You want to hear the worst part? They encourage others to do them as well. Wow. That's Romans chapter 1 in a nutshell. Sounds like the nightly news, doesn't it? God doesn't have to pour out fire to show judgment. Are you listening? Sometimes He simply lifts His hands off of us and says, do what you want. You got free reign. Sometimes He simply does that. He lets us have what we want. And now we are seeing what happens when a society is given over to itself. It's a mess. Are we in agreement there? It's not godly. How can God bless the mess that's going on in America? He's not obligated to. And sad to say, the church has taken on some of these qualities. Woo. Ruh-roh. The condition of America is not just the result of worldly rebellion. It's also the result of the church's compromise. We've allowed sin to go on too long in our churches. We've gotten away from the truth and we're preaching opinion. We've compromised. So the question really is God judging America? No, the deeper question is the church willing to repent and get thoroughly right with God? So number four, my final point, the church must rise up. God is not obligated to bless America, but He's always willing to work through a faithful remnant. At one time, the church influenced the culture instead of imitating the culture. Wouldn't that be nice to have in 2025? That we're not imitating the culture. We're influencing them for right. Today things are so different. I got a verse for you. Ready? 1 Peter 4:17. For the time is come that judgment must begin at the White House. Is that what it says? Wait a minute, let me reread it. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the Supreme Court. No, for the time has come that judgment must begin, read it with me, ready, at the house of God. Many times we want to blame all those other places. Y'all, it's us. He wants us to check ourselves out first. Let's keep reading. He's speaking of judgment, first begin with us, what shall the end, or think about the terrible fate that be on them that obey not the gospel of God. That means a Christian who knows the truth and chooses to disobey. It would also refer to someone's unsaved. They have not received Christ as their Savior. What terrible fate they're going to have to spend an eternity in hell. But I also want to just speak to us. If you've got sin in your life, we've been preaching it for 3 weeks now. Unconfessed sin is going to bring consequences. What terrible fate. You say, preacher, are you threatening? I mean, what are you doing here? No, I'm just preaching the Bible. That he's trying to convict you, but you don't want to get rid of your sin. Judgment's coming. If America is to see revival, it will not come from the White House. It's going to come from God's house. It's going to come from churches that believe in the Bible, like Gospel Light Baptist Church. It will not start with legislation. It's going to start with repentance, prayer, and the preaching of the truth in the church. We are to be a holy church. We're to be different, distinct from the world. People ought to look at your life and say, there's something different about that person. They don't blend in with the rest of the crowd. Now, y'all, we are living in a time of moral collapse. We're living in a time of political chaos. How about global conflict? Last Sunday, tensions between America and Iran came to a head, and so we bombed their nuclear sites. This has sparked fears of war. How many read a Facebook post days after that, and everybody's getting scared, thinking we're going into World War III? And there's uncertainty about the future. There's anxiety across the nation and even in our churches. Our world is shaking. But guess what? We shouldn't be shaking. Do we know who's in control or what? We shouldn't be shaking. God is calling his church to rise up. Church, we are the hope of this nation, not because of who we are, but because of whose we are. Ooh, did you get that? We're the hope of the nation because we are God's children. We are the church. We belong to him. Now, we got to continue to preach boldly. We got to continue to love deeply. We got to continue to pray fervently. We got to continue to live righteously. The church, let me just tell you, this is no time for silent saints. This is no time to be just a passive pew setter. It does you no good if you sit in these pews and your life is not changed. And if you're not making an impact on somebody else for the cause of Christ. Think about that. We're not losing our country because the darkness is too dark. We're losing our country because the light has grown dim. We are the light of the world. No, God's not obligated to bless America, but he has blessed us greatly, no doubt about it. But he's calling us now not to wave a flag, but he's calling us to repentance. Now, I love waving a flag. I'm not saying it's a bad thing to do that. But more importantly than waving a flag, we need to get on our knees and repent and get thoroughly right with God. He's not calling us to comfort. He's calling us to commitment. He's not calling us to entitlement, that, hey, I'm an American, so I'm entitled to God's blessing. No, he's calling us to evangelism. Remember this verse, Philippians 3:20? For our conversation is in heaven. You know what that means? We're citizens of heaven. We're just pilgrims down here passing through. But truly, our citizenship is up there. God's ultimate priority is his kingdom, not in our country. His blessings flow toward those who serve his purposes, not just patriotic ideas. We got to be so careful. And then I love this verse, Psalm 85:6. Read it with me. Ready? Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? Let the church rise. Let us be salt and light as Jesus has called us to be. May we live in such a way that God can once again look on this land with favor, not because he owes us anything, but because we've returned to him. If you've drifted from Him personally, return to Him today. That's what repentance is all about. Changing your mind. And it leads to a change in heart about your sin. You want to get rid of it. You want to get away from it as far as you can. You're returning to truth. You're returning to justice. You're returning to moral integrity. You got a fear and a reverence for God. Like the kids saying, let's keep our eyes on Him. Let's put our trust in Him. It's God that makes us strong. That's what they sang about this morning. It's not us that makes us strong. It's God. Hey, if your family's grown spiritually cold, men, fathers, lead your family back to God. If you've been silent in the culture, speak the truth in love. And above all, pray for revival. Pray for revival in our church first, and then pray for revival in America. Believing in Jesus is what America needs. Are we all in agreement there? They need to believe in Jesus. The church must lead the way, not through politics, but through prayer. We got to live out the gospel. The world needs to see a holy church at 6307 Cloverdale Road in Roanoke. A different kind of people. We're set apart. We're joyful. We're spirit-filled. We're loving. That's what this world needs to see. I got this statement from a devotional I read this week, and I think we put it on the screen. Ask the Lord to make your life a glory to Him, a threat to the devil, a strength to your church, and a witness to the world. Wow, isn't that good? Write that one down, okay, or take a picture of it. Let's say it one more time. Say it with me, ready? Ask the Lord to make your life a glory to Him, a threat to the devil, a strength to your church, and a witness to the world. Then I got a four-step process. Ready? Repent, pray, stand, shine. Repent, pray, stand, and shine. Hey, the darker it gets, the brighter we've got to burn. How many believe it's going to get darker? It's going to get better. It's going to get worse before it gets better. So the darker it gets, the brighter we have to shine. Are you shining your light today? Let's bow our heads in prayer. Every head's bowed, every eye's closed. I'm asking you to come forward today and pray for your nation. Can we do that? How many are truly concerned for your neighbors, for those around you, for our nation? Would you come and pray for your country? Yeah, you don't have to kneel. Just come and stand in the altar. Stand with me and say, I want to pray for America. Would you come right now? Come on.